rapid response from Restore of the Heartland. 776-9668. Online at restoreoftheheartland.com.
And again, Kathy Dawes, along with Dr. Timothy Schaefer and System Professor Communication Studies, also with the Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy. We were taught, why don't we just go ahead and get that on the table, too, whether it's civic or civil. It's confusing.
It is confusing.
It's actually civil.
Yes, and very intentionally. So the Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy at K-State was established. Actually, there's a very helpful chapter in here about
it. Oh, good. Okay, yeah. Well, maybe I need to read that. I'll get it in my head right.
No, but you know, a lot of these words sound very similar, and I imagine for your reader or for your listeners, they sometimes hear it and wonder what in the world, why we're saying one thing over another. But you know, the root of civic is this kind of sense of citizenship, you know, and similarly, civil kind of comes from that.
I had a civics class in high school.
Yeah, that kind right. Of it's thing. That mm-hmm. It's that sense of kind of a big picture citizenship and kind of shared life, civic life, and the civility piece is, you know, often directly more connected with this idea of discourse and what are the dispositions of say a citizen. So when we talk about civil discourse. And the importance of it's largely framed around this idea of how do we as people as members of a community of a citizenry, if you want to say it that way, how do we actually engage and interact and dialogue with one another? So that's the if you're going to try to parse some of those things, they're really close to one another and pretty complementary, but they are moments quite distinct.
And I am looking at that, and it's talking about Kansas State University's Institute for Civic. With a C,
yes.
Discourse and Democracy. And David Proctor, I've had the opportunity to speak to several times before.
Yeah, no, Dave was really instrumental in shaping what became the Institute. He and others, Tim Steffensmeyer, the outgoing head of the department that I'm in, the Communication Studies Department at K-State, they and many others really saw the need for, say, a university like K-State to help convene people around a variety of issues and also to train people, faculty and staff and others in some of these skills, which is partly why the certificate program I was mentioning at the beginning of the conversation is housed here and really part of ICDD, as we call it, the Institute. Because we really feel like, you know, as a land-grant university, as a public institution that has this public purpose across the state, you know, we work a lot with extension, helping train and facilitate conversations. This week, actually, well, here's another thing. This week, a colleague and I are working with the Sunflower Foundation to do a little bit of training with. They have a fellows program. And in some of the skills and practices, the models of doing kind of public discourse, there are lots of different ways to approach these things. And for people who are concerned about, say, public health, for example, or healthy communities broadly defined, there are many, many different avenues to pursue as it connects to how to interact and how to deal with contentious issues or complicated challenges. But at the root of it, you know, I think, you know, K-State plays an important role because we are this land-grant university. We were founded with this really explicit kind of mission and purpose, and we see Dave Proctor and others saw quite a while ago that this was really instrumental to fulfilling that mission. And so I'm really glad to be part of it, to work closely with him and many others. Donna Shank Hamlin, someone who's been really involved in the community here with the League of Women Voters and lots of other organizations, helping to offer trainings and experiences for folks to basically learn the skills, how to be a little bit better citizen. Back to that civic piece, you know, how do we engage in civic life through engagement and to do so in civil ways.
Well, it's interesting, too. It seems like it's kind of heated up. I mean, I knew of your existence prior to last year when I finally contacted you for the election and we got to know each other a little better. I always knew you were there. But there's no doubt, I think we're seeing a real need right now for people to learn to communicate better. And as you work with some of these folks, maybe some of the biggest problems you see in, you know, blocking that communication, what are we really dealing with right now that way?
Well, you know, I think there's right now, and it's been building for quite a while, but there's this one of the things that we find through a lot of research and then also just through practice. So it's not just this kind of abstract thing, but it really is kind of grounded. It's that we if you want to use the word tribes or whatever it might be, that we are increasingly kind of isolated, whether it's in our bubbles. We've talked about this, I know, in the past, of where do we consume media, for example, what platforms, what, you know, do we have a red feed or a blue feed, those types of things. How do we see the world? And that really affects how we interact. You know, one of the fancier words we will use in kind of academic circles is enclaves. You know, so where do we kind of live in our own little cul-de-sacs, if you will? And that becomes challenging because if we don't know the experience of the person who lives on the other side of town, or the person who is a different socioeconomic status, or who goes to a different religious community or a different church, whatever it might be, then we're really at a disservice for kind of dealing with our shared problems, because then we're only seeing it from where we come from. I mean, so we can go back to last year's election or to many other things. And you're like, oh, everybody I know is thinking this the same way that I'm thinking. Then all of a sudden results come out and it doesn't reflect what you thought. And you wonder, how could that be? Well, part of it is that and a lot of us do this. We're talking to the same people. We're interacting with the same people. We're going to events and kind of social recreation with the same kind of people. One of the few spaces research kind of points to where we actually interact with people who are different from us is usually work. That's one of the few places where we have some of that diversity, some of the stratification of economic status, you know, for all the way from kind of the janitorial kind of staff all the way up to the CEO and everybody in between.
Although even within our own families, I think we're starting to see some differences, and that's interesting too. I know we might as well mention, I know there was a little bit of interest of interest in the health care bill that did not pass, and I know our own Senator Moran voting against it, and there are a group of people from K-State that went to Washington, D.C. They felt strongly enough. A couple were cited. I could say arrested, but it was more a citation, more like a parking ticket violation type of thing, but... You know, it got their interest.
I'm aware of that. And you know, for those two faculty members, they very intentionally did that. They went with a number of other people from around the country who were kind of coordinating this. I believe they somewhat paired up with folks from Maine, and so they were kind of buddies, if you will, as they were going through the congressional offices They said that, they had a chance to speak with Susan Collins, who was very open and receptive to a lot of this. Our senators were not quite as much. But I think this is, this all kind of feeds into the same piece, is that there are a lot of different ways to think about civic life. You know, how do we participate? How do we sometimes really engage in these protest politics or the direct actions as those folks did? And very consciously, making a decision. Am I going to stay here? Am I going to kind of stand my ground, literally, and let the law kind of take its course? And in that instance, they walked out with a citation and paid some fines and things of that sort, acts of civil disobedience, or in addition to, not necessarily in competition with, but in addition to that, how do we think about the town hall that happened more locally here a little while back? How do we have these more kind of constructive conversations? Who knows what happens back in the districts? And I'm not even sure. I know Senator McConnell wants to have another vote. I'm not sure on which bill or what's actually happening, and I don't think the senators do either at this moment. But or what comes from this back in the districts. But I think this again calls for a exploration, kind of a questioning of like what actually is constructive for us as a country. What's constructive for us to be able to have some important discussion about the acknowledgement that none of these bills are perfect, so what do we do to make them better? And that requires us to actually talk to each other.
Right. And I know even Senator Moran had a little difficulty at one of his little town halls that he had in the Kansas City area. It's interesting. Now, how much of a difference does it make when you have, say, these peaceful demonstrations or whatever the case may be? Do you think it does have an impact on the way they end up voting?
Well, I mean... Yeah, I mean, you can look at it a multitude of ways. You know, there are always a bunch of factors that I know when Senator Moran said he was coming out in opposition to this, some people are like, oh, yeah, he finally heard our message. And it's like, well, maybe he's saying no for a set of reasons that are different from the reasons that you would want it to be no. Or there could be, other things that are happening, kind of reading the tea leaves, and then all of a sudden maybe it looks good to say no rather than to still be on the fence, those types of things. With all of that said, I think that there are places where we can see especially when we get to kind of critical mass where some of those more kind of direct action efforts work. I mean, we have really rich historical examples, obviously more contemporary ones too, but this is, you know, things like the, you know, MLK marches and some of these types of things where that kind of action becomes really important. The challenge is, though, that sometimes that doesn't always register for folks. And if there's other interests or kind of commitments, then that can supersede or dominate in contrast to that form of engagement.
Once again, never seems like there's enough time.
No.
Dr. Timothy Schaefer with us today, and of course with Kansas State University Assistant Professor of Communication Studies. You've been listening to In Focus on News Radio KMAN.